is worthy, the Lord Jesus Christ, to receive glory and honor and praise. And we're so glad that you've come and worship with us here this morning. It's a good time to be in the Lord's house, and we're glad that you're here. We know the Holy Spirit is here because we've gathered in the name of Jesus. We honor him. We have him to come and speak to our hearts. As we come, I want to remind you that at the end of the service, we'll be observing communion or the Lord's Supper. Those that are listening on radio or those that are listening later to the webcast, we're going to stay on the air and ask you to join us so you can go and get a cracker, a piece of bread, and some juice and participate. And you may say, well, now, Preacher Ed, what I got at the house won't be exactly what you have at the church. True. But I got to thinking this morning about 3 o'clock in the morning, laying there thinking, and Holy Spirit reminded me that in 2,000 years since the Lord's Supper was instituted, how many people, maybe in POW camps, concentration camps, Russian gulags, prisons, have celebrated with whatever they had at hand. I thought about, you know, thousands of churches across the world today will be observing the Lord's Supper. And I doubt very seriously that what we have looks like what they'll have in India or China or Africa. But the point is, we come to celebrate Jesus. And depending on what type of cracker or juice, it doesn't matter. What matters is that we celebrate Jesus and his life and his death, his resurrection, the salvation that is ours through him. Father, we thank you that we can come into the presence of the Lord today. Oh, Lord, we're so glad to be here. Now, Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit will guide and direct, and that every person that's here will know your presence. Every person's listening in, either on the radio or on the web, will experience a touch from you. Lord, let us honor you. Let us glorify our Savior. For truly, he alone is worthy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. Let's do our hymn sing this morning. And as has already been announced, we will be celebrating communion today. And Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. And that's the song we want to sing as our hymn sing this morning. It's page 365, or you can certainly look at it on the screen this morning. Do this in remembrance of me as we stand and do all the verses together. people said amen.
Amen.
Well, good morning. Good morning. I have some announcements for you. As already been announced, we will celebrate communion at the end of service today. And Pastor Ed has made arrangements for all those who are on the webcast and also outside and they're listening to the radio. You can be part of that. He's explained it to you already. So please feel free to do that. This is the last Sunday for the children's home. This is the last Sunday for giving. Praise God, we've already reached a total of $3,245. I think that is absolutely marvelous. And also, if you will look under the tree up here, you will see it is loaded down with pajamas. Now, you can't tell that's pajamas, but it's boxes full of pajamas that you all have decided you're going to be a part of Pam's project to help the nursing home have warm pajamas. And I think that praise God for that and praise God for the... Let's give them a hand on that too. I tell you, while we're talking about great responses, and last Sunday, as you know, you all decided you would be part of giving some money from our budget and reallocating some funds to some worthy causes. We have reallocated first $2,300 to go to the West Stanley Christian Fund here, but then we had a donation of $500, Lionel, so we ended up with $2,800 going to this right here. Make this, it says here, a day of giving. We did more than a day of giving. We did a lot of giving, and we thank y'all. God bless you for that. Praise God. While we're moving, now let's also talk about the fact that we'll be giving a Christmas basket to our shut-ins, all those that we don't see and we miss every Sunday. And I can't tell you how much I miss these folks. They can't be here with us, and they're not here for a reason. The fact is the COVID virus or their shut-ins. We need to send something to say, look, we miss you and we love you. And so we'll be doing that. And Tamara, I want to thank you personally for your willingness to take care of this project for us. And so thank God for that. That's another great thing. And thank y'all for that. So we're going to do that too. So. Also, while we're in the move, while we're saying thank you, Angie, where are you? She's not here today, is she? But let me tell you, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. And Angie and I'm sure Chris and Shelby, all of them were there. Okay, it's a family affair is what it is. And we thank them for everything that they've done. And if you be sure you tell them how beautiful this is and how much you appreciate it. We also want to keep you reminding you that we will be continuing with our sanctuary services at 10 o'clock until such time as the coronavirus or they get a vaccine where we can change things around. But right now we will stay where we are with the 10 o'clock service. Bible study each Wednesday night at 6:30. Now, after much study and after consideration and after discussing a lot of this with you and the deacons, we've decided about the Christmas cards. I have a lot of you have asked about Christmas cards and what we're going to do about Christmas cards. Well, after talking with all of you and the deacons, here's what we've decided to do. We will sponsor the Christmas card again this year. We will do it. And we will have a box out here in the hall that you can bring your Christmas cards. The only thing we're going to ask, there will be some restrictions here due to the coronavirus in order to be able to stay safe and be able to make sure that we give these cards time to make sure that any virus might be on them might be dissipated. We're going to ask that you have all your cards here at the church by December the 13th. That's Sunday, December 13th. Write this down. Because if you hear after December the 13th, the card will not be mailed. It will not be in the group. So December the 13th, and then the cards will be given out in your mailboxes back here by the 20th, on the 20th. David Talley and Stacy Talley will be responsible for the cards, getting the cards sorted, and they will be doing it with their gloves and all of that, and it'll all be done. But then they will go into the mail slots here. Now, let's talk about the mail slots just a little bit. Don't bring any cards here late and put them in the mail slot because that won't work. Because what you've done then, you've put a chance of the mail slots being contaminated. We have to keep the mail slots clean, and they're going to be clean so that the Christmas cards will be in there. So don't bring anything late and put it in the mail slot. Okay? I hate to sound dictatorial, but I don't know how to do it. So let's be sure we all understand and follow the rules. And let's go protocol as much as we can. I tell everybody, and this is the truth, that God expects us to do the possible. And he'll handle the impossible. But he gives us science and listen to. So let's try to follow protocol here as well. Now, as far as the Christmas cards list, Brenda has been so nice. I gave her exactly 24 hours to get this done. That's a bad hit, wasn't it, Brenda? And so here it is down front. Come down and get your Christmas card list so you can mail your cards accordingly. And again, a great big thank you for all those who've participated in this. Again, I want to say this too. For those of you, for some reason, you don't feel safe doing this and sending these cards, don't send them. Don't do it. No one's going to feel hard at you. Nobody's going to be hurt about it because we all understand. Everybody approaches this to suit their own heart and their own needs, and we want you to do that. Don't do anything if you don't feel safe. And that's all of the announcements I have this morning. Does anyone have anything you want to add at this point? Okay. All right. Prayer request. Prayer request this morning. We're still missing the big guy, Jeff K. He's still convalescing and he's having more problems now with the rotator cuff and pain there than he is anywhere else. And Jay, you tell him, and I know you'll see him more often. I talk to him every day, but still haven't been able to visit him because of the virus. And I get tired of blaming the virus for everything and finding an excuse, but it's the truth. I would have been there, would not have been fat. But just remember Jeff. Continue to remember Jeff's mama. She's doing better. Let's also remember Vivian Austin this morning as she continues to get better and recuperate. Bryson Martin, Betty, you have a report on him this morning? Okay. We want to keep on praying. I want us to pray for Reggie and Anita Hill. There's some friends of ours in the Red Cross area. Anita, Anita's been a paraplegic. She's been in a nursing home for years now. And then Reg now is not doing well either, so put both of them together. And I'll be able to talk to them yesterday, and I want us to pray for that family. Family needs prayer, and Reg and Anita Hill. Let's continue to pray for Tony Eford. I talked with Tony this morning, and Tony is still experiencing some problems recuperating, and you, Tony, we'll keep praying for you. God's going to touch your body, and God will give you strength again for that too, sir. All right. Do I have anyone who want to add to the list this morning?
Yeah, can you please remember Nicole, our niece Nicole?
Yes.
She's battling cervical cancer. We're praying for healing for that.
Yes. Oh, my. Okay. Yes, absolutely. Cold. Okay. Anyone else? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for another day. You've given us another beautiful Lord's Day, a day that we can come and worship in your holy name. Now, our Father, as we pause for a moment, Lord, we are so thankful for the blessings that you've already given us through giving to the less fortunate. Lord, I praise, Lord, these hearts and these giving hearts of our church who has helped and it will be helping and are helping those less fortunate. Thank you for their giving hearts and their ability to do so. Thank you for our church and the sponsorship it gives and the leadership it gives for giving to the less fortunate. But then, Lord, we have those still among us, Lord, that are needing a touch from you. Lord, we know that you're the awesome God and you're in control. But we continue to lift up Jeff to you this morning. Jeff K., as he is recuperating, he's still having some problems, Lord, both with the surgery, the healing of the surgery, and also with his shoulders and rotator cuff. We pray for him. Pray for Lori as she continues to offer his caregiving to him. Lord, we thank you and pray for Vivian as she continues to get better from her surgery. Little Bryson Martin, we pray for him, Lord, as he battles cancer there. And then, Lord, we ask that you look at, praise and touch Tony Eford's body, Lord. We ask that you give him strength again. We ask, Lord, that you would give him healing for his body. And then for Nicole, Lord, we lift her up to you again as she's battling cancer, Lord. And we know, Lord, that it's a horrible disease. And, Lord, we know that you can control it, though, and that you can give healing. So we pray for healing for her body. We pray for our church now, Lord, as we go forward in our service today. We pray a special prayer for those who will be offering service here today in this service. We pray for Tonda as she'll come and sing. We thank you, Lord, for Kathy and Brenda as they supply the music so faithfully. And then for Wes and the guys at top, we pray for Wes and Michael. We'll continue to pray for them. We pray for our pastor as he will come now, Lord, and give us the service today and the message from you. And then, Lord, we'll be very careful to give you all the glory and all the honor, because it's in your name we ask this prayer. Amen. All right, let's do a praise song this morning, a song that, you know, first in Corinthians, I think it's in 1 Corinthians, Pastor, you correct me if I'm wrong, when it comes to the Lord's Supper, it asks us to examine ourselves. And I think this, before we take the Lord's Supper, I think this song we're about to sing, Search Me, O God, covers exactly what we need to be thinking about this morning. Search me, O God, and we'll do verses 1, 2, and 4 as we stand and sing together. Search me, O God.
Yeah.
wonderful song. God bless you.
Amen.
Miss Tonda, if you would, please. Come and bless our hearts, Tonda. You know, I've been able to call on these two girls every Sunday, Kathy and Tonda, and you've always been here, no matter whether it was in Saturday afternoon or Sunday morning at 10, and thank God for you. Thank you both.
She might be doing that, so she had a little, just a little.
Oh, okay,
about
good.
5 minutes
good,
ago.
Because we have played that song recently. We have talked about it, Preacher Ed, recently. And that song just keeps on coming back to me over and over. So I figured it's worth singing if we talk about it and we listen to it. So let's go ahead and sing it. He is Lord. It says so much. So sing along with me. When we get to the chorus, or if you know the verses, please join in. But it's just sort of been one of those that kept coming back. So I thought, well, you know, the Lord's saying something. We're supposed to sing that, not just listen and not just talk about it. Okay, so sing along. We're ready.
From the
Thank you, Tonda. You know, the Bible says, always be ready to give an account of the hope that's in you. In other words, always be ready to witness. And evidently, it always need to be ready to play, sing, whatever, you know, whatever, or... You know, sometimes you be in a big group and say, "Oh, Pastor Ian, I'm glad you're here. Would you pray?" <You know? laughs> So always be ready. Amen. Okay. I think most of you know that during the past 25 years or so, Pamela and I had two beautiful golden brown Cocker Spaniels. Now, both of them were rescue dogs. We rescued them from sad, sorrowful, painful situations. We went to, one of them we got there close to where we lived. The other one we went to Knoxville, Tennessee. Paid the money, each case. And those dogs didn't ride home in a cage in the back of the car or the back of the truck. They rode home in my wife's lap. Tears stringing down her face in joy. And she's loving on those dogs like you wouldn't believe. We adopted them into our family. They became a part of us. Lady was satisfied to sleep on the dog bed beside of our bed. Scarlett, she's going to sleep on the end of our bed. She, you know, hopped right up there. And so she just slept at our feet. And they didn't speak English to say, "We love you and we appreciate you adopting us." But in doggy language, they did. I think about the house that we live in now. We drive in on Sunday from church. And there in the guest room window was Scarlett, just a-bouncing. The window ledge is only maybe 6 or 8, 10 inches off the floor, and so she could just look out there when we drove up, and she'd be bouncing, and by the time we got to the front door to open it, she's there bouncing, so glad to see us. Sat in our laps, wanted to be with us all the time. They were rescued. And I'm not calling you a dog, but I'm saying in one sense, this is exactly what God did for you and me.
Amen, he did.
It's exactly what God did for you and me. Do you realize that their story is your story? In the 5th chapter of Romans, we read this in beginning at verse 6. Romans 5, verse 6. When we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, but peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. What does he say? While we were yet sinners, without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. While we were his enemies, Christ died for us. If you turn over to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, we read something of the same thing. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we also had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were of the nature one, the children of wrath, even as others. We were dead in trespasses and sin. We walked according to the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's the devil. We had the spirit of disobedience. Our times of our lifestyle, our conversation, our lifestyle was the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and mind, and we were children of wrath. Everything the New Testament pictures is you and I in a miserable situation. Everything about us was lost, doomed, on our way to an eternal hell. Lost forever. And this week I was reading in the Passion Translation in Psalm 49, and it came across, just jumped out at me, Psalm 49, the Passion Translation, beginning at verse 6, Psalm 49, verse 6. They trust in their treasures and boast in their riches, yet not one of them, though rich as a king, could rescue his own brother from the guilt of his sins. No one could give God the ransom price for the soul of another, let alone for himself. A soul's redemption is too costly and precious for anyone to pay with earthly wealth. The price to pay is never enough to purchase eternal life for even one, to bring them out of hell or to keep them out of hell. He said, though you were as rich as a king, though you were wealthy, you boast in your wealth, it's not enough to keep one person out of hell. Now, you and I think we have tender hearts. And if I could turn to some verse in the New Testament that said, if you will give $5,000 or $10,000 to the church, you'll be sure of your salvation. If there was a verse like that, every one of us would make sure we put that much money in. And if it said, if you'll put that much in, you'll be able to vouch for the salvation of some other individual. I have some relatives and friends that I'm not sure about their salvation. I'd empty my bank account, and most of you would too, to assure the salvation of those we love. But the Bible says all the money in the world will not rescue somebody from the path to hell. Now that ought to tell us something. That ought to tell us something. And if we had to stop there, knowing that we were sinners, we were miserable, we were lost, we were doomed, without hope, how miserable we would be. But there's good news. Flip with me over to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. No, chapter 6. Chapter 6, sorry about that. 1 Corinthians chapter 6.
And then we're also, as soon as we finish there, we're going to go to 1 Peter. Because they go together. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? You are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He says, all the money in the world wouldn't buy you eternal life, but you were bought with a price. Well, turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1, and we'll see what that price is. Verse 18, chapter 1 of 1 Peter, verse 18 and 19. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Praise the Lord. Money couldn't buy your salvation. Money couldn't buy my salvation. Money couldn't put us in heaven and keep us out of hell. But we were bought with a price, and that price was the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. The precious blood of the one without spot and without blemish. God chose us. God bought us. Not with money, but with that precious blood. How special that is. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Just like we chose those little doggies and rescued them, and we paid the price that was asked, God looked down and loved you, and he paid the price. The Lord Jesus Christ descended from heaven, took on the form of a man, suffered terribly, whipped and beaten and crucified and a spear in his side. His blood was shed to purchase your salvation and mine. And it doesn't stop there. Turn with me now back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. You know, the Bible's just full of good stuff. Sometimes I just get so excited reading it, and I'm no more spiritual than you are. It's just full of good stuff. Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. If children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, we shall also be glorified together. He says, God not only saved us, he adopted us into his family. You know, if we had adopted those little doggies, put them out in some outbuilding and treated them terribly, they wouldn't have been much better off. But when they came to live in the house with us, they were adopted into the family. They became special. And when God saved you, he didn't save you just to barely get you into heaven. God saved you to bless you. God saved you because he wanted you to be one of his children. He wanted you to be as special. And just like those little doggies riding home in Pam's lap, feeling loved and hearing all the sweet words, the tender touches, God wants you to feel His sweet words and His tender touches. His love for you is amazing without end. And you're a part of the family. Some of you may remember that, I don't know, it's probably been 3 or 4 months ago now, I wrote something in the newsletter that when I, growing up, there's always plenty of food on our table. It may not have been fancy food, but there was always plenty of it. And never once did I sit on the floor and hope somebody would drop me a few crumbs. I sat right there at the table, said, pass the potatoes, pass the collards, pass the whatever. Because I was a part of the family. And I expected to be treated as a part of the family. I expected to enjoy all the benefits of being a part of the family. And you are a part of the family of God. God wants to treat you as a part of the family. He doesn't want you to have just the crumbs. He wants you to have all of the blessings of being a child of His. It says you are an heir and a joint heir with Christ. You know, if there's an estate and it says the joint heirs are, and there's four of them and there's $40,000 to be divided up, then they're all going to get the same. And as a joint heir with Christ, every blessing that God has is yours and mine. He adopted you into His family. But first, He purchased you with His precious blood. And that ought to be a reason for praising and worshiping and thanking Him on a daily basis. That ought to be a reason to live a holy and godly life. Back there in 1 Corinthians 6, you are not your own, you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Glorify God in the way you live. How precious it is to know that because of what Jesus Christ did for us, we're saved. We're in the family of God. We've got that wonderful home in heaven. You know, some families have a special place at the beach or special place in the mountains that they like to go. God has a place called heaven. And it's yours. When the family goes, you get to go. I'm having to think right now of a family I know lived a long way off, and the man had a daughter, and he and his wife divorced, and he had a second wife, and they had some kids. And the second wife hated the first daughter. And she always planned vacations and special events when the older daughter couldn't go. It's not that way in the family of God. We're all included. There are no, as we used to use the expression when I was growing up, red-headed stepchildren. We all belong to the family of God. We're all heirs and joint heirs because we were bought with the precious blood of Jesus. And when we come to the Lord's table, be reminded of the price that He paid to adopt you into His family. And be thankful for what you have ahead of you, both the blessings as you live out your life on this earth and the glorious blessings that are yours for all of eternity. We're going to celebrate at the Lord's table now. Some of you came and got the elements a few moments ago. If you have not gotten yours, if you'll come get yours. And if there's anybody that's in the parking lot that's listening by the radio, that if you'll come up to the front porch, they'll have those for you. Those of you that are home listening by radio, or those of you that are listening later on the webcast, we invite you to take the elements that you have there with you and get ready to participate. Now, these are the same as we used back earlier. There's two little tabs. And the first one, if you open it, should leave you with just a little piece of bread showing, a little wafer. So if you pull that out, Jesus said, "This is my body. It's broken for you." I cannot imagine what he went to when he was tied to the whipping post. And those lashes went across his body over and over and over again. The pain. I cannot imagine, and you cannot imagine, the pain of the nails in his wrist and feet. How painful that must have been. Most of us know, you know, at some time or other we've got a splinter, or we've got a briar in a finger, and how it hurts. Imagine those nails. You were bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus. Father, as we contemplate the broken body of our Lord, we thank you. We thank you for our salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus said to his disciples, "Take and eat. Then you should be able to peel away and have the symbol of the blood of Jesus. Okay. The Bible says, apart from the shedding of blood, there is no remission or forgiveness of sin. His blood. Thousands of animals had their blood shed on the altars. And thousands of sacrifices have been made on heathen altars. But the only blood that counts for all of eternity is the blood of Jesus. The blood that was shed for you and me. Because he loved. Because he wanted a family. He wanted you in heaven with him. And so he shed his blood for you. Father, I thank you for that precious blood. I thank you for that precious blood that washes away our sins. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other now fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for that blood. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus said, "This is my blood shed for you. Drink ye all of it." If you're here today, or if you're listening in by radio, or if you're listening into the webcast, And you couldn't celebrate today because you didn't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Jesus died for each of you. The Bible says it's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to redemption. He loves you. He died for you. And I pray that each person in this building knows Jesus. If you're old enough. If you're not old enough, I pray that when you get old enough, you'll know Jesus. And then I pray that every person that's listening to me knows Jesus. If not, would you just bow your head and acknowledge, I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I'm on my way to hell. But I know that Jesus died for me. He rose again. He's coming again. And I confess Him as my King of Kings and Lord of Lords and my personal Savior. If you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, the Bible says, you are saved. I pray that if you'll do that, you'll be faithful in church, whether it's in this church or some other church, but that you'll be faithful and be grateful and thankful for the salvation that's ours through Jesus. Brother Leonard, would you come now and lead us in this song?
Blessed.